Welcome back to another episode of Ruminations of Red Rum. Today I am your host, Ian Tuwies, the ghost of Ian, the streaming banshee, the Danny Phantom of the Ruminations Radio Network podcast. Today joining me virtually to my left, we have, what's your name again? Kyle. We have Kyle.
With a gay. Hi, Ian. How you doing?
Good this morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Got decent sleep. Can't complain. Day off. Went to the movies last night.
What'd you see?
What did I see? I saw In a Violent Nature.
Oh.
Yeah.
I very much want to see that.
I'm curious to hear what you think about it, Brendan.
Was it as gory as and violent as everyone said it was?
Yeah. Okay. It's pretty gory. It's pretty violent. It's got some nature in it. So,
but what's crazy is what happens after the movie. You get a nice 4D experience. Also joining me to my virtual right, we have the smartest man in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We have the stretchy boy himself, Mr. Fantastic, Brendan Jesus Ortega Madison. How you doing?
Did you know, Kyle, that David Frost wrote the two early 2000s Fantastic Four movies? Mark Frost.
Mark Frost. No, I did not.
That's fucking insane.
Yeah, especially because those are really bad movies.
Yeah.
But
what?
That's very interesting and very what seems like out of character, although I don't really know all the stuff he's done, so maybe I'm just speaking out of pocket, but I feel like it's kind of weird with everything else that he's done in his, you know.
I was very much taken aback when I learned that.
He did the Jessica, is
Alba.
It J-Lo?
Jessica Alba. Yeah.
Alba, that's right. God, Jessica Alba, what a treasure.
What a national treasure.
What a babe of the time, you know? Oh,
she's still
the babe of my time. And she still is a babe, yeah, 100%. But she was the babe of my time. She was like the Sweeney of today's land. Mm. She was my Sweeney. She was my Sweeney.
Mm. So. The Jenna Ortegas, the, you know.
Yeah.
The Mikey Madisons.
Mikey, hey,
Seth Rogen's. I'm just kidding.
Michael Cera's.
There you go.
I'm good. How are you doing, Ian?
Good. I'm good. Let's get into Rex for the week. Throwing it back to Kyle. What have you been watching, playing? What do you want to give a shout out to this week?
I mean, I could talk about In a Violent Nature, but I kind of want to let you do that. So I'll just say that Evil Within, finish it up again. What a banger. We're going to cover it. I think I still like Evil Within 2 better, I think. But
you just can't beat that open world, man.
Yeah, it's too addicting. The open world aspect to Evil Within is just very addicting. Mm-hmm. Exploring things as you wish, side quests in an Evil Within game. It's kind of it's a little wild.
It's kind of insane if you think about it.
Yeah, but Shinji Mikami, what a legend. Creator of Resident Evil, creator of Evil Within. Just a very amazing man, and I'm glad I lived in the time of Shinji Mikami. But definitely play Evil Within if you haven't played it. I went to the movies. Saw In a Violent Nature. I didn't like it that much. I liked the concept. I didn't like the execution. And I think the kills are a little overrated. There's one really good, interesting kill, for sure. The others, I think, are a little tame in comparison. And also just a little boring. Which is one of the first ones we've seen a million times in other movies. And then it just progressively gets less and less interesting until the one kill. And if you've seen the movie, everybody knows what I'm talking about. That kill made me laugh just because how ridiculous it was. But not because I thought it was stupid. It was just so ridiculous, and it caught me off guard. But I would not recommend the movie unless you're really, really into like kills and gore, which I'm sure 90% of the people that listen to this cast are. But it just, I don't know. It just, it wasn't enough to save the movie for me. But yeah, unfortunately, because I really wanted to like this movie. Like all the promotional material spoke to me. I didn't see the trailer, but poster, stills, the color palette of the shots, the character design of the slasher, I don't know, all kind of spoke to me. And then I saw it and was kind of disappointed. But, you know, that's a Shudder exclusive for you.
Also joining us, Brendan.
I'm back.
Give us your recommendation for this week.
I watched Peter Jackson's Brain Dead, and it's a fucking terrible movie. It's so fucking stupid, and it is not worth the finale. People say it's one of the goriest movies ever made. Fuck you, you're stupid. The movie I want to talk about that I loved is after watching Saw 3D the other day, I was really jonesing for some more awful Sean Patrick Flannery. And I rewatched The Boondock Saints.
Yeah.
Boy, if I tell you, I haven't watched that movie in three and a half years, I still knew every single goddamn word of that movie.
You gave it a 4.5?
Yeah, I think.
Deserved.
Yeah, I think. Actually, no, I didn't have Letterboxd last time I watched it. So, I mean,
I'm telling you right now.
I can agree it's a 5-star movie.
Yeah.
I can agree.
Look, but I get it. I get the whole. Okay, sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead first.
No. You go. And like, I don't understand. Everyone's like,
they hate on it.
Everyone say it's a shitty movie.
They hate on it. Like, yeah. Everyone hates on it. And then it turned like mid-2000s, it turned into like a meme for cinephile culture of like, oh, that's what like first year film students go to when they try to think of like peak cinema. Throw out all that fucking horseshit. Really? I don't want to hear it. Okay. It's a good movie. Great movie. I think the argument could be made for a 5-star movie.
I think the only reason I didn't give it 5 stars is because there are a few moments in it where it's unabashedly a Massachusetts movie where it becomes very, very fucking racist.
I mean, that's
and I know that it's just
it's what it is.
Them portraying their characters, but honestly, the Willem Dafoe's slow descent into madness in that film is unparalleled to, I think, anything he's ever done. It is I really like how you can see, he's very much not closeted, but he's still self-hating a little bit because of his sexuality. And he has this big macho man job, and he still tries to hide it while actively flaunting it at the end to kind of get into the mansion.
Written character.
There was a final fight. So chills every fucking time. So great movie. So it is so fun to watch. And I really like the second one as well.
That is my favorite Willem Dafoe performance of all time. Do you guys have a favorite Willem Dafoe performance?
Green Goblin. No, I'm kidding.
You can't do this to me.
I mean, there's too many. I'd have to like really sit down and think about it. But I mean, right off the top of my head, The Boondock Saints obviously is a great one.
I feel like that's the one that I want to say, but it's so hard to pick. I think when you're picking a top one Willem Dafoe performance, it has to be a top three for the first spot.
Have you seen the trailers for that new-ish flick that he's in where he's trapped in the apartment? He's like he steals like paintings and shit, and he breaks into this like high rise apartment of this like rich person's house, and then he gets trapped inside, and like the walls start to like shape and shape. Dude, it looks very interesting, actually. But
is it the Kinds of Kindness? Or oh, no, that's the new Yorgos Lanthimos movie. Yeah.
Here, I'll tell you right now. Hold on.
He's one of those actors that I wish was in every movie. He just makes every film better.
Dude, he's the one of the main characters in Beyond Two Souls, the sequel to Heavy Rain, and he's great in that too. Mm-hmm. Definitely recommend that.
I just watched him in that Mississippi Burning, and he was still like a great
character. That is a good movie.
That movie's like kind of disturbing.
No, it's called Inside. It's called Inside. It's got a 2.9, so I don't know how good it is, but the trailer is kind of fire. I'll put it in the
Inside 2023.
Yeah. Added. It looks good to me, but apparently it's not.
Oh, first, I was on IMDb, and I thought you were saying it had a 2.9 on IMDb, and I was like, wow, that low? It's got a 5.5 on IMDb.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's on Prime. I want to check that out now.
Yeah, it looks really good. It just looks like William Dafoe by himself acting his heart out. Like, it's just like there's no one else in it. It's just him going crazy. Mm-hmm. So, like, I could watch that every day. It just looks cool.
The first review on IMDb, the title is Not For Everyone.
Yeah. An art thief.
I also like his resurgence. I like when actors get, like, acting resurgence.
Yeah.
Like Jeff Goldblum.
I don't think he ever really went down, though, right? Like,
I mean, he was definitely in, like, lesser known, lesser popular stuff.
By choice, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh my God. He was always in it by choice. Yeah. He loves acting in smaller stuff.
He was in John Wick.
Yeah.
I'm sure, dude. Everybody's in John Wick. Literally everyone's in John Wick.
I really do not remember him in that movie.
My mom's in John Wick.
He's like the friend assassin in John Wick 1. He gets offered the contract and he doesn't take it. And they like fucking pop his ass.
You know what, Ian? I'm going to push back on you there. I don't think Willem, and I'm going to be on Kyle's side, I don't think Willem Dafoe ever had a downfall because he went from the Spider-Mans to Finding Nemo, Once Upon a Time in Mexico, Life Aquatic, The Aviator.
Yeah,
he was in the XXX movies, Inside Man, Courageous 10.
It's not necessarily about
Antichrist.
Not necessarily
my
about
son, my son, what
the films
done?
That he's in. It's about popularity, you know? And he's super popular now.
No, but I think that
when you did Finding Nemo,
I think that you're maybe mistaken. I think you're mistaking popularity with your generation's discoverability. I think maybe your generation just became aware of him. And then that's
he just became a meme like last year. So Gen Z's now like, oh, who is this fancy man?
Exactly. If you've been with him since the beginning, he's never gone. He's never gone away. But you guys kind of discovered him later in his career.
Yeah, that's true.
Not you particularly.
I know. Yeah. The Gen Z, they like to rediscover actors
plant flags
and actresses.
They like to plant flags.
Like, did you know that bell bottoms
loves to plant flags?
Did you know that bell bottoms are cool again now? And so are the polo shirts, Kyle, that you and I probably wore in middle school.
Oh yeah,
they're back.
They are back. I've seen them too. It's wild.
Oh shit! That's enough of our old guy corner, Ian.
What have you been up to?
I too watched the super boring, very slow film, *In a Violent Nature*. If you want to see what life is like as Jason Voorhees, watch the movie, and you'll see it's incredibly boring. But someone had to do it. Someone had to make this type of film, and
it was already made. *The Rise of Leslie Vernon*.
True, but also it's not like from the point of view of Leslie Vernon. It's the crew, and they kind of interview him. This is literally just from him.
Oh, okay.
And his
are there scenes of him running from like one kill to the next kill to get there in time?
Not running, walking.
Oh, good.
Walking, and we're not exaggerating when we say
criminal amounts of time
walking. Like, think of like. walking simulator game in movie form. Yeah, it's a walking simulator movie. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And I'm not even trying to like throw shade at the movie. That is like a realistic description of the film.
Oh, that's good. That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I could see both sides of the coin, but I just fall on the side that just wasn't entertained. I feel like I wasted my time.
Yeah, I have no problems with people liking this movie at all. I have no problems with it.
It just didn't sit for you.
It did not hit. It did not hit for me at all.
That's fair.
And there's a super long kind of monologue thing that goes on literally for the last like finale. And I took a nap and Kyle woke me up and she was still talking in this freaking story that she was spouting off that made, I don't know.
William Dafoe though, man. What a national treasure.
What a do you know that for the for the shower scene in Antichrist, they actually had to bring someone in that had a smaller penis than him because
Lars von Trier.
Yeah,
he has like a 10-inch dick or something like that.
Soft.
Yeah.
10-inch dick soft.
Yeah. Apparently Lars von Trier said it looks like a monster. Or it more like it looked like
a monster can.
The monster.
I also watched Black Swan.
Was it a first time watch?
Yeah, first time watch.
Hmm.
So another Darren Aronofsky film, Down.
I picked up The Wrestler and I am so excited to rewatch that.
That never film seen it. I think I liked more than Black Swan.
That's not a controversial statement though.
No, I don't
people
think so.
Really no. Like The Wrestler.
I think Black Swan was more of a of its time movie because it had Mila and Natalie when they were both kind of on their rise, and it's such a tantalizing lesbian sex role kind of thing.
Yeah, it's her coming from like one coming from like That 70s Show, which is a very family friendly show, and one coming from Star Wars the prequels, which is family friendly fantasy. So yeah, it was definitely of its time.
It sucks because I just got done watching The Phantom Menace like not too long ago. So watching The Phantom Menace and then seeing her in that role, little icky.
Man, she's my all-time celebrity crush.
But she had a great performance. They both did. Really liked the performance, directing, just overall fantastic film. But we're not here to talk about Darren Aronofsky. We're talking about slow burn cinema. We're not here to talk about anything else but the 2010 Saw film, Saw 3D. But before we get into our thoughts, where'd we watch it? What we added to our collection. We're going to get into some.
Just a couple gigolos. Those are the new Jigsaw heads. I'm calling them gigolos. We're gigolos now. Just a couple of gigolos going over some.
Saw 7, :3D, the final chapter, is the seventh and final film in the franchise's original run, and it wouldn't be until 13 years later that the original films would be revisited with Saw X. Writers Patrick Melton and Marcus Dunstan would take their ideas for the final two Saw films and merge them into one film, creating an oversaturated, overstuffed, and incredibly unfocused film. Series editor and Saw 6 director Kevin Greuter would also return to dip his hand into 3D filmmaking for the first and last time. 3D filming took a large toll on everyone involved, forcing them to replan, reblock, and reshoot many of their ideas. The 2009 remake of My Bloody Valentine would be the reason returning series producer Mark Berg would push for 3D in the film. The multiple conflicting storylines and overall feeling of forced pacing were due in part to the incredibly lackluster performance of Saw 6 at the box office. Dunstan and Melton were told instead of getting two films to finish their story, they would have to pack it all into one. In hopes of not having the same fate as Saw 6 when it was released against Paranormal Activity, the release of Saw 3D would be pushed back 1 week from October 22nd to the 29th, in hopes of not competing with Paranormal Activity 2 at the box office. Also, fun fact, while doing my research, I learned Brian De Palma was in the running to direct Paranormal Activity 2.
Oh, actually, I haven't seen Paranormal Activity 2. I know it's well-liked, but I'm a my favorite fan. So that would be
I'm glad he didn't direct it.
Like the previous film, the winner of VH1's Scream Queens received a role in this film, with Gabby West playing the character Kara. Through the past few films, there was a scene that was consistently removed from the scripts that Dunstan and Melton were repeatedly told was too gory and graphic to film. Knowing that this would be their final attempt, they were able to get the scene in, and that is the garage trap. Because of the inclusion of the garage scene, this film had to be resubmitted to the MPAA 6 different times just to receive an R rating. Personally, my favorite bit of Saw 3D information is something I remember seeing in the news when I was a kid. A theater in Massachusetts came under fire when children seated for a showing of Megamind were caught off guard when instead of watching the lovable, big-headed blue character on screen, they were subjected to the first 7 minutes of Saw 3D.
That's awesome.
On a budget of $17 million, Saw 3D would bring in $136.2 million. But how do we feel about it? It is time for us to wrap up our talks of the original run of the Saw films.
Man. It's crazy this takes place in Metropolis.
I never thought we would get this far in our Saw journey. We're in the final chapter. It's kind of wild. I'm glad you guys brought me along for this journey.
It's been a ride for you, hasn't it?
It's definitely been a ride.
A surprising ride?
Definitely. It's ups and downs. It's Saw twists. I've gone through many different states of emotion and I'm just glad I'm here.
And this is it. In case you guys were wondering, there are 4 outside shots in this film.
Not Brendan approved.
No. Mm. 2 during the day and 2 at night.
Glad you brought that up, Brendan. Let me redirect you both to the ROR cast discussion real quick if you guys want to switch over there. This is a Kyle-approved Saw film, and let me tell you why. Worst wigs in the biz, guys. Welcome to another episode of Worst Wigs in the Bigs. Now, this one does sit a little bit lower on the rating scale. It's hilarious, don't get me wrong, but I don't think it matches the iconic look of Amanda in Saw 2. It doesn't pass that quite yet. And then also,
for those wondering, it's Bobby Deggan when he's in the bar before he meets his future co-conspirator.
Yeah. Great wig, don't get me wrong, but it's not the worst in the franchise so far. So, but with one in here, I just want to say this was a Kyle-approved Saw film.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good, good, good. So you're going to host this episode?
No. Absolutely not.
But we are going to throw it to you. Where'd you watch it? Would you add it to your collection? What'd you think of the film?
I watched it on the Terrible Saw combo pack that we have that has like 8 movies on one disc. Would I add it to my collection if I didn't own it? Yes, because I'm now a gigolo. So
you just wanted that to be the name, so you could call
yourself. I'm making it
a
thing. I'm gonna keep saying it until it's a thing.
It's already a word, though. That means something else.
But when you say it in the context of the Saw franchise, it has a different meaning. Okay.
Jig.
Hello.
Yeah.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm getting excited about that. So yeah, no, I am a new gigolo, and now let's take our. Our biased capes off for a second, okay?
Let's take those head traps off.
Let's take the biased head traps off. Let's get them off. Let's get the gigolo hats off for a second, right? Mm-hmm. This movie is terrible.
Yes.
When it comes from a filmmaking standpoint, right?
This movie's garbage.
The acting is atrocious. The writing is worse. What does he call her? Psycho a couple times? Or crazy?
Ooh, crazy.
Crazy?
Crazy.
Crazy? Are
Here,
you crazy?
I can
yeah, you're
quote,
just crazy.
That's one of my favorite lines in this movie.
So these are all the times he calls her crazy. Once when she's in the interview place, mm-hmm. what is it? She looks crazier than a sack of cats. And then when they're together, you're crazy. You know that? I knew you were crazy from the first time I laid eyes on you. Yeah. Crazy. And then three seconds later, yeah. All right, this is what we're going to do, crazy.
Yeah.
Which that line is the best delivered line in the movie, though.
Yeah, that
he's
last
still,
one.
He's still sticking to it, but he's like, here's what we're going to do, crazy.
Yeah, that last one threw me for a fucking loop, dude. I couldn't get over it. I paused it for a second and had a good little Kyle chuckle. But and then I love immediately after that, not to get on a tangent about the writing, but I mean we're on topic. He goes, "This is a safe house, crazy. They're not going to know where we're at. It's a safe house. That's why it's called a safe house."
And then
he walks into the next room and she goes, "They've tracked our location to the..." I'm like, this is fucking gold, bro. So yeah, bad writing.
I like how what separates that room isn't a door.
It's like just a sheet.
It's a curtain.
Yeah, it's a curtain.
A bedroom.
Set design terrible. Acting terrible. Writing terrible. Directing... pretty on brand for Saw, so I'm not going to throw out the directing chops. The directing was pretty on point for Saw, so directing was fine. But yeah, this is a bad movie through and through. But as a gigolo, was this a good Saw movie? Now, I have a lot of questions that I want to hear from you guys, and I think that we need to figure out by the end of this, which I'm sure you guys will have a strong opinion on, and I do too, but if this is a good Saw movie, if it propels the narrative forward, if it's cohesive with the rest of the timeline, I have some mixed feelings about it. I also have some mixed feelings about the reveal and the twist. I think they could have done it a little bit differently, which we'll get to in our segment of what this movie could have done to make things better. How it's better, but we'll get into that later. But I enjoyed it. I had a good time with it. But no, I don't think it's a very good movie.
Brendan.
This is the one Saw movie that I will concede and say it is a fucking awful movie. Even if I'm not a big fan of Saw 6, I will fight to the death that I think it's a good movie. This movie, you're going to get no fight from me on that. I watched it.
And I'm glad. That makes whatever you're about to say a lot more credible, right?
That being said, how do you define cinema?
Exactly.
So I watched it on DVD. I want to get those like the clear cases, the clear Saw cases. Yeah. I would like to get. I almost bought those at Book Off because they had every single one.
Oh, I'm surprised you didn't do it.
I had already calculated like a $70 tab. Gotcha.
You get some bangers.
I couldn't justify adding like 80 more dollars to it. So let's just get this out there. This movie is misogynistic as fuck. The only people that are in traps that are actually truly awful traps are women. Every man gets out of this, like his friend that has the goggles on and he has to walk over some beams. That's nothing. The first lady gets a fish hook shoved down her throat. The second lady gets her fucking eyes. His girlfriend, his wife, who had nothing to do with this, gets burned the fuck alive. This is a very misogynistic film. That being said, it's a fun. No, I'm kidding. They did not need to add Detective Gibson. That was not necessary whatsoever. And also, when did internal affairs ever once go out to a crime scene? Because he's running this garage crime scene and he's just with internal affairs. It is very weird.
I mean, it gets to that point, you know, when someone can't solve a mystery, they get the FBI, internal affairs, get
so bad,
the military. That should have been the next movie.
Yeah, get fucking Inspector Gadget or something.
Get the Coast Guard.
Inspector Gadget.
I don't like how this film set a precedent for Saw X to include a dream sequence into the traps.
That's a good point, actually.
I was not a fan of that.
That's a good point.
And it was honestly just used to justify, probably for them to justify the 3D.
Yeah.
And to kill another woman.
To kill another woman. I mean, Hoffman even has the line, you know what sucks about killing you? I can only do it once. And here he technically
so to does justify get to that, do it he twice. Killed three more women.
This is filmed exactly in the same way. And I'm not even talking about just for the 3D shticks, but like it's got the same polished vibe of Friday the 13th 3D. Like, mm-hmm. It's just filmed in such a different, like, not.
See, I was going to say Spy Kids 3D.
Or just any 3D movie. Yeah. I don't know why, though, filming it this way changes, like, the whole formula of, like, acting and, like,
mm-hmm.
It's almost like there's a filter on, mm-hmm. but there's not. It didn't look like a Saw movie. It didn't feel like a Saw movie, but we had a narrative going. Like, we had the Saw narrative there. It's just, it felt like a Saw movie in like another movie shell. It was really weird. I couldn't shake it.
Adding 3D to a film just adds another layer of things that you don't want to put in the film, I feel like.
Because mm-hmm. now you have to throw guts at the camera now, and you have to throw that Saw down the hallway.
Yeah.
And can we just agree that the final shot of what they thought was going to be the last Saw movie ended on such a bad note? Like, it's so cool that Dr. Gordon is the first person we see in the bathroom in Saw 1, and he's the last person we see in the final frame of Saw 7. But the awful 3D handsaw flying down the hallway, it just looks so ugly, and that's what you're going to go out on? I want you to end this fucking series with one screen grab from every single second of the Saw movies throughout and put it to the Saw music, and then you end the movie, you go out. That's how you end your franchise, not this bullshit.
Well, because, I mean, I don't think they clearly intended to end it.
Like, No. They knew that this was going to be the last one for a very long time.
Well, for a very long time, but like I don't think it was ever... The way it ended, which I agree with you, if they were truly going to cap this off and end it, that would have been a proper way to do it. But I feel like deep in the recesses of everyone's mind, including the execs, they were not going to end this movie here. I think they always wanted to keep it at least open so they could revisit it and milk it if they had to. But can I just say one thing real quick?
Please.
When Gordon kicks the handsaw away from Hoffman, and I can't remember what he says. He says like not this time or dude, I got chills. I got chills when he did that. I was like, oh, that's so cool. Really cool scene. But sorry.
And
way ahead of it.
If you guys were wondering who the two pig-masked individuals with Dr. Gordon are, when they kidnap Hoffman, it is the two guys from the opening trap.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. The two the love triangle.
Yes, yeah.
Gotcha.
Does it say that?
There's not a deleted scene. Who was it? Someone said it in an interview that it's canon that those two.
Does it ever show them, or is that just like?
No, okay. But it is Saw canon.
Interesting. That trap, by the way.
Oh, it's so.
They got. Okay, sorry.
I watched this on that shitty compilation, 8 Discs in 1. It's a fun movie. Mm-hmm. Terribly made. The acting, everything, but it's fun. If you just chill, popcorn with friends,
that's
it's
what
fun.
I did. Alone, I was having okay time. I was completely alone. I was like, this is stupid as fuck, but I'm in it. Whatever. Let's do it.
It feels intentionally bad where it's so bad it's good, you know? Like the line deliveries, the bad acting, everything. But we can go through the traps right now. And I have a little name for all of them. I don't know if they're definitely not official, but Bros Before Hoes is the first one. That's a good name. Okay.
Yeah. I think we're breaking up with you, Dina.
Yeah. Oh my God. Sorry,
also,
I'm gonna yell.
They all could have survived. All of them. Easily.
No.
was no point where the Saw was
it
like.
It had to be all the way over.
Going.
Well, no, because like, they were strapped to where they couldn't back up more.
Was it going to bring them? Because there were shots when it panned up to her and the saw was like away from her, where if she went down, it would have missed her.
Well, that's because they were pushing it. So it had to be all the way over on one side and the saw moved to the side that they pushed it on. So one of them would have, so if like, if one of them pushed it this way, the saw would have went that way. That guy pushing it that way would have lived, and then the girl would have lived. But then the other guy would have died. So I, and they were strapped in a way that like they couldn't back up from the saw. So they had to do a full press. One of them would have died.
Yeah.
All three of them wouldn't have been able to make it up.
I also like how it was midday and people came to it and noticed it.
I don't like it.
I hated it. I hated it.
There's no need for an outside trap.
Hated it.
Oh, it's an outside trap.
Yeah, yeah. That's like everything against what Brendan wants.
Not only
is it an outside shot, but it's an outside trap, dude.
If that you think is about dirty. Look at Saw 4 when you have the hear no evil, see no evil. One, Art Blank comes back later on in the movie. We physically see it. In the sixth one, the lady who chops her arm off, she comes back later on in the movie, and she's in Saw 7, where she says, the only good thing I got was handicapped barking at the damn mall. Mm-hmm. I really wish that if we are going to go with this thought, that these two guys from this completely seemingly random trap in broad daylight, I would like to have seen them at the end with Lawrence Gordon and not have to dig through thousands of interviews just to find canon for 2 seconds of the movie.
It would have made it a little bit more
cool.
Cool. Yeah. And I mean, because as it stands, for people that aren't going to dig into Reddit threads, is that it's just two dudes who got trapped in a saw trap because they were getting played by a bitch. like a really shitty person. That's the reason?
Yeah. I don't know. Ian, keep going with your stuff.
To your point, like that would have opened up the broader sense of that this is like a cult. This is like a movement. Yeah. This is it's a whole thing. And I did notice that the one of the boys in that trap was at the meeting. Anonymous thing, that like kind of AA meeting thing.
Saw Anonymous.
Also, the dude from I think what was it 5 who puts his hand in with the lady. He was also there, which I thought that was cool. I would have liked to have seen her there as well, because she like obviously lives. Like it just looks like she obviously lives. But to see him there, I think that confirms it.
Well, I mean, Erickson almost does put a fucking bullet in her head because she pops up with that. Remember, she's crawling through and she pops up with the fish hook thing.
Oh yeah,
he jumps back and immediately puts his finger on the trigger.
Yeah. But as a trap, what do you guys think of this? Do you get take away the outside shots? Take away the
I hated it.
Yeah.
Broad daylight in the middle of everything. You guys didn't like the design or anything? Nope.
It is single-handedly the worst scene in the entire franchise so far from what I've seen. No.
Okay. Second trap. You guys ready?
Yeah. Yep.
Second trap, because there's a lot of traps in this movie. The Lincoln Park trap.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got all the Nazis in the park or the garage. What's his name? Chester has his back glued to the chair.
Chester Deddington.
Oof. And then there's another person with a hook. Bringing the hook back. And then a woman on the under the tire.
And then the guy that's strapped to the garage door.
Oh yeah.
Which so like
it's a 4-for-1.
Yeah.
It was kind of goofy.
Mm.
It was a little goofy.
I will say though,
for me,
in this probably comes as no surprise to anyone who's ever listened to a Linkin Park song. Chester Bennington has such a good scream for horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's one of the best screams I think in a horror movie.
Yeah. What'd you guys think about this trap? You like it? Didn't like it? I also thought it was kind of goofy. It felt like another flashback. because it wasn't, I don't know, it was just shot so differently.
Mm-hmm. So were these Hoffman's traps or were these,
yeah, they'd be Hoffman's traps.
Or
yeah.
they're not Gordon's traps?
No.
It seemed out of character. It seemed out of character for Hoffman.
So Gordon...
Did it?
Gordon doesn't...
At this point, he's kind of breaking down and he's like going through madness. He's just going on a killing spree.
Well, and also this has to be a Hoffman trap because he's setting it up so that he can get into the body bag to get into the prison, to get into the jail where Jill is. But no, I don't think that Dr. Gordon... The only trap that he ever put anyone in himself is Hoffman at the end. Otherwise, he was just kind of like the medical advisor.
Yeah. The medical advisor.
Yeah, like he sewed the eyes of the one guy and all that. Yeah.
Which is cool.
It's cool. Yeah. I like this trap, but I more like how this trap is less of... It's not a trap just to have a trap in the movie. It kind of sets up a few different plot devices. And I really like how it incorporates itself back into the story like three or four different times.
Hmm. Although they spent a lot of time at this garage.
You can tell that Hoffman was starting to just kind of like get tired of this shit when he puts an automated machine gun turret in there. that was jumping the shark a little bit for me.
Yeah.
Desperate.
Yeah, when that happened, I was like, so this is where we are now. But like to Ian's point though, you know, this was he was fumbling now at this point. He was he was like trying to stay above water at this point. And so he was getting
figured out.
He was getting a little more sloppy. Yeah. And maybe his anger towards the situation was reflecting in his traps as well. So
definitely.
Good point, Ian.
And then we have a kind of flashback, lawnmower monkey bars, trap, which is,
it looks so dumb. Not only does it look dumb
with the gnomes,
it's where all the lawnmowers are facing up and it's the lady and her. Yeah. And the whole reason this lady's put in this trap is because her husband is domestically abusing her and Jigsaw's like, well, you can either keep getting abused or, you know, if you fuck up, you're going to die. It's so unbelievably stupid.
Yeah, it should have just been in a trap.
Which one is this?
This is the one she's having a flashback. It's the SA meeting. They're going around the table. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, this really helped me, blah, blah, blah. I feel really spiritually sound now that I killed my husband.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And then he gives like a long speech at the end, but.
Guys!
I like the gnomes.
I like during that speech, he's like, and these are my scars. And they look like there's like thumbtack, like he got thumbtacks on. And the other girl has like her arm missing. Yeah. It's like, it's not really one to one comparison, but. I like where your head's at. I need to talk about it. I just need to talk about the AA meeting, okay?
Yeah.
I need to talk about...
There's something I also need to talk about there.
I need to talk about the reveal because it's driving me nuts. Mm-hmm. I think that this was a missed opportunity. I think that Dr. Gordon should have been in the corner, in the dark, mysterious. You're wondering who this motherfucker is. He should not have revealed himself there. His reveal should have been when he took off the pig mask at the end. It would have been way cooler... For him to be talking and like, who's this dude? Who is this guy in the like, you know, the corner of the room? And like, he obviously knows something. Like, something's going on. I feel like it was such a lackluster reveal because you already knew he was in the movie. So the reveal at the end was like, yeah, of course it's you. Who else is it going to be? Like, it didn't have the impact that it would have had of like the Saw finale. Gordon's back. What? But they would have like sprinkled the little trail in the beginning with that meeting, with, you know, the ominous dark shadow behind the meeting. Like, who is this guy? I don't know. I feel like that was a missed opportunity for me. And it made the reveal and the whole twist at the end like way less impactful. I had to get that out. I'm sorry.
It does work for me. But it would work better if there's a deleted scene right before as Bobby Degan is he's standing back in the doorway watching his people set the cameras up and all the people are sitting in the circle and from behind him, Dr. Gordon comes up and pats him on the back, and he's like, "It's okay. You got to believe in yourself," or something like that. And I really like, but what I was going to say is the scene where he is shrouded in darkness and he starts doing the slow clapping.
Such a cool shot.
I don't know if you guys caught, there is a slowed, reverbed kind of like liminal cover of the Hello Zepp.
Yes. Song. Yes. Yeah. Oh, no, I heard it.
It was
genius. Gorgeous. Is what it was. Yeah, it was genius. Is what it was, and that's why I feel like they fucking blew their load a little too early. They just went a little too early, a little too hard. Because that just sprinkling in that song with the mystery of not knowing who this dude was, it would have made it so much cooler at the end. I'm getting chills just thinking about what it could have been. I'm just getting chills. Sorry.
Oh, wait. So in the Discord, I said something to Ian that he never responded to. But I said, I can't wait for Kyle to watch the opening of this movie. Kyle, what was your initial thought when the first thing we see is Dr. Gordon crawling down the hallway?
I mean, okay. So I already know he's in the franchise because I've heard you guys talk about it. In the Discord, so I already knew he was coming back, so it wasn't a surprise to see him.
Gotcha.
It was more like a, oh, so this is where I'm going to start seeing this manifest into what it's going to be, because I knew when, or like I knew it was going to happen, I just didn't know when it was going to happen. So, I mean, no, dude, I love that guy. I was pleasantly surprised that he's coming back,
and he looks very plump in this movie.
I mean, he's a little older. He's a little older.
Russell
Same with
Crowe going on.
He's got the Russell Crowe going on. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, Ian. Older. I didn't mean to take over.
No, it's cool. They get comfortable.
Also, it's cool to see that he has more accomplices. That he has like, and at the end where you kind of see where it's a bigger thing than like the legend of John Kramer will not die, and it'll live on because people keep getting touched by this thing. So.
Does it go in that direction? Like, is there like a movement?
Don't answer him.
Because that would have been dope if it goes in that direction. Okay, yeah, don't answer. But if it does go in that direction, I will be very excited. But if it doesn't, I won't get my hopes up, so I won't be disappointed. But that will be really cool if it goes in that direction. If there's like a group, like a movement, that'd be sick as fuck. Because I did like that. I did like how there was like a mob at the end. You're like, oh shit, they're like a... They're rolling as a pack now. This is crazy.
All I'll say is you'll be surprised and disappointed with the next film. The next
cool
trap
surprise. Get your hopes up because they're not gonna
because they're about to get let down.
Surprised then disappointed.
Gotcha.
Throat fishing is the next trap. This Nina. Is where. She has like the noise decibels or the things or spikes are coming at her. I really, really like this trap. And it's like it turns my stomach every time I watch it just because it's so disgusting to like to imagine what we can't see, you know? Like the key ripping out her innards through her throat. Disgusting.
It's very, it's one of those traps that very much fits with the crime she's being punished for.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry, the transgression she's being punished for. But it seems like one of the most unfair traps.
Definitely. Because she has to go through pain.
And I personally think that if this is your trial and you're going through these series of traps, as the lead person, each time you also need to be tested. Mm-hmm. And all he pretty much has to do is just
yank that shit.
So I don't necessarily like the fact that there's no negative aspect for him in this trap, but it is still very gnarly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a disturbing trap to like visualize.
Definitely.
For sure. I thought this was a very smart trap, like a very well-designed like concept trap. I think it's a very high concept trap, and I think it's really, really cool. I almost wish it wasn't in this movie. I wish it was in a better Saw film. It's a really cool idea, and I appreciate this one for sure.
Oh, like like maybe the receptionist at the health insurance agency from the last movie.
Yeah, it was just, it's almost like this trap was too good to be in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll make a top 10 traps or top 5 traps episode after we do this. The next one, I didn't really have anything clever for it. I just said leg lift.
Oh, I wrote down the calf raise from hell.
Calf raise. That's a better one. This has a lot of similarities to one of the breathing trap from the last film,
yeah,
where someone's torso is kind of getting crushed. I thought it was a fine trap. He didn't really try too hard.
I mean, he tried. He definitely tried.
The pin was on like 200 pounds.
Yeah, he was getting gutted.
What if he moved the pin?
I'll start with this one. I didn't think this trap was very. I didn't think this trap was very good.
Could you imagine? Is it breaking the rules if I like just move this up like 20 pounds? Like, I'll still do it. 180, I'll do it, but 200, I can't.
Is this the trap they use the pink blood? Did you notice that there was a kill? I can't remember which girl it was, but the blood was like bright pink.
I think you might be thinking of the Jill Tuck nightmare sequence.
No, it wasn't the nightmare sequence. There was a kill. We'll look it up after the okay. episode. But there was a kill where I'm pretty sure it's this one with the eyes. It's one where her eyes get stabbed too, right?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it's this one. Like the blood was like bright pink. It wasn't even red. It was weird. But I wasn't a fan of this one. The end, like the kill was cool. Like the visuals were cool. I just don't think the trap was very interesting. Yeah, I got nothing really else for it.
Also, like, I don't think she deserved it.
Well, I mean, she took an oath as a lawyer to do good.
Oh yeah, she was.
She was complicit with
was actively lying. You're right. For millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Opinion changed. next trap, we have Arg, walk the plank, / hangman. This one is probably the worst trap, one of the worst in the series, in my opinion. There's no there's no like pain, there's no anything. The guy, exactly. he looks very comfortable, if anything.
Yeah, the only time you see him shaking is when he puts his hand out to catch the key.
Yeah. And also throwing a key to a blind person, hilarious. And I think that's another scene. Am I allowed to say that with the context?
I don't know why that was just so funny.
It's a funny string of words in a sentence. I'll say that.
Throwing a key to a blind.
I think they justified it a little bit more, just the way he was cupping his hands against his chest. He was relying on him to like bank it off of his chest and land in his hands. It's not like he was like grabbing for it in midair. He wasn't doing that. But like,
I think that needs to be a new phrase. God, it's as difficult as throwing
like
a blind
key man to a blind trying
person.
To catch a key. Yeah, there you go. There you go. You said it right.
Difficult as throwing a key to a blind man. Also, his hand was like cupped to his chest. There was no need for a shot.
Yeah.
You literally just had to throw it in the hand.
Like, right, but if it like, yeah, but yeah, but if it banked, you know,
enough to where it has like range to go on his chest his hand.
Right, bank off his chest into his hands. That's what I'm saying.
Banking, like, there's no bounce. You just like, boop. Pop.
Well, you can do a.
You can do
like
a flat bank.
It should.
Exactly.
It should glide.
You could
it should hit
Brennan,
his chest.
As someone who watches sports less than this man, you could do a flat bank. You could do a flat bank.
Flat bank.
So, could we say that this is a film's deadliest recreation of the egg toss?
Sure. Also, I do agree with Ian that this is probably in the bottom 5 traps of the franchise for sure.
Yeah.
Like it has Definitely. To be right. Maybe even 3,
along with the lady in Saw 3 who just gets frozen to death.
Oh yeah, that one. I mean, yeah,
he could have taken his shirt off and covered the nozzles. Anyways, you know, that's what I would have done.
I would have gotten completely naked
in solidarity.
After the fact, and then pigs in a blanket. Is the last one, which is, I think it has another name, like Brazing Bull or something like that.
Oh, I thought. Are you not referring to
the furnace?
The teeth.
Oh
yeah, the teeth. Are you talking about the teeth?
Is that a trap? I guess there are.
Good question.
I guess
there is it a trap?
Oh yeah, that
also,
goes back to one of the questions
the
I asked.
In his teeth.
That goes back to one of the questions I asked. At what point do we delineate something from a trap to a test?
I think. Good question.
I'll let the primary gigolo start this conversation.
Primary gigolo.
The veteran gigolos. The veteran gigolos, sorry.
President and VP. Yes. That's a great question. A trap and a test. This one, first of all, how did they get the numbers?
I think that's easy. That's
on the roots of his teeth?
No, it's not on the roots. No, it was on the back.
They're on the back of the teeth. Like,
oh,
because they like my on the inside.
My thought is Hoffman probably knocked him out, took him to Gordon, to Dr. Gordon. Gordon etched the shits in there, and then. Oh yeah.
Do you think they took him out and put him back in?
No. Hoffman knocked him out. Took him.
Oh, he took the guy to Gordon.
Knocked him out. I thought he meant knocked the teeth out. Like, oh, that's impossible.
Can you imagine? Out, took him to Gordon.
They can't reroute the teeth. Adam. Sorry,
but teeth pulling situation in general, teeth pulling, anything that has to do with teeth, even when in the first trap when she had the string on her teeth. Like that had me cringing. So I would never pull my fucking teeth.
No, see, yeah, that is the moment where I'd be like, okay, Jigsaw, you win. Yeah. I'm gonna rot in this room. Yeah.
At the same time, though, we've all had teeth pulled, right? It's all an experience that we've gone through. So even though the pain threshold is severely high, I think with the right person, it's doable. 100%.
But it's the back teeth, though. Those are the...
That's why I said with the right person.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, literally, I would say almost every human in existence goes through teeth pulling. Like, so it's not something that's, like, foreign or, like, that out of the realm of, like...
I might vomit.
Honestly. I might die, you know?
I might literally
You know you're not going to die. It's just going to hurt very bad.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Also,
can we move on?
Would you do it to save?
What I thought was funny is even because it shows like a video on the TV in the room, and even though his wife or girlfriend is like, no, don't do it, but she wouldn't be safe. So even she was willing to sacrifice for that
over
kind of
some
thing.
Teeth.
Yeah,
kill me. Don't pull your teeth out.
Don't pull your teeth.
Kill me.
The beautiful teeth.
I don't know. Go back and watch the first trap again, and there's an Indian dude in the crowd smiling and laughing, and it got me pretty good. I'll point it out to you guys if you guys rewatch it. It's pretty. It's almost like he got hired as an extra, and he got a complete wrong description of what kind of movie it was, because everybody else is like, and the guy's like, it's really funny, actually.
We're all laughing. And then the pigs in a blanket. I thought that was a really. That's a top trap for me. That's a top 10 trap for me. Not in scenario, but in terms of
in execution.
Execution and how torturous of a trap that actually is. Like,
are you talking about the one that like comes together like it's a fucking Transformer?
Okay. Yeah. Like being in that situation, that's super fucked up. That's one of the worst traps. Like just to be burned alive in this hot ass oven.
What do you think
on your knees?
It was too fantastical for me. Like it wasn't seem man-made enough. Like it seemed seemed like a set design kind of thing. It just seemed too much.
Almost like if a community theater put on a stage play of Saw.
Yeah, like I'm just like one man's not making this contraption, right? Like this is kind of out there, but it looks cool. But I was like this didn't seem like Saw.
I don't know much about muscles, but I do not believe that two pectoral muscles could.
No, they could. Like, there's actually like a hook hanging community. Like, if you like go on YouTube, there's people that hang themselves
from
like their chest and their back and their fucking all parts of their body. They just hang there and they do it for like pleasure.
Do you remember? Did you guys ever watch Mind Freak?
It's a thing. Look it up.
Yeah.
I was a huge Mind Freak fan growing up. And I remember one of the episodes, he does, he puts like the giant fish hooks through his back and then is flown over the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking love it.
Yeah, people do that. So, I mean, I don't know if it's strong enough, but it's definitely a thing that people do. I don't know if it's the exact location that he does it in, but.
And then the final trap, we get to see the reverse bear trap in its full glory.
Big fan of that.
Yeah, this is the first time we actually see it.
Yeah, I actually get to see the work of it. Yeah.
Is this where you're talking about for the pink blood?
No.
Because I do. Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure it was the girl with the eyes and the.
Ian, so you're not
go back and rewatch
the nightmare trap.
No.
Okay. So then in Saw X, you won't include that. We won't include that one either.
That one's cool though.
We're not talking about Saw X.
That one's cool though. I will. I think we should include that one. but yeah, we get to see it, and it's in 3D. I wish I watched it in 3D. I think that would have been actually pretty cool. And I like the gore afterwards and her tongue flopping out and everything. I like the execution of that trap. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. I agree. It was cool. It was like coming full circle.
Yeah.
Like where it started and where it ended. You finally got to see it.
Yeah. And then lastly...
There was a little glimmer in Brennan's eye right now. He had like a come to Jesus moment. He was so happy for like a brief... That's the happiest I've seen him in months, by the way. That brief moment, I just like caught him like without him knowing that I was looking at him. That was great.
What'd you guys think of the end? Hoffman lives?
I wanted a montage. I think I said that up front. I wanted a montage. We get a little bit of one, but it's mainly just like Dr. Gordon's retconning into everything.
Yeah.
I wanted a legit one through what we've seen in 7.
The build-up.
Montage with the do-do-do. But like, even give me a bigger orchestra, more grand. It's just, I feel like it's just such a letdown of an ending.
Interesting. I was a fan of the ending. I like the ending. Again, though, it was just the reveal that held it back from good to great. I thought the ending was good, but it could have been so much better if the Gordon reveal was the ending. I really wish that was the ending that we got. But otherwise, it was good. I had a good time with it. I had fun on this movie.
And continue that thought with your final thoughts and rating, Kyle.
I gotta have printing gophers. I gotta.
Another thing that Saw 7 would do that would
be... Because this is his last chance. Brennan, I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm really rude today. I don't mean to be. This is his last chance to help me solidify my rating. I need the guidance of a gigolo right now. A veteran gigolo.
Saw 7 would do many things that would go on to be repeated in later movies. One of the things that it introduced that we did not talk about was the John Kramer "Hello, fellow kids" meme with the backwards hat.
Oh yeah! Oh, I didn't even talk about that. Can I say something real quick?
Of course, please,
dude. When it happened, when he's Dom. So Dom woke up and she caught about halfway through the movie, and she sat with me like halfway through it, and. She was like laying on my lap, and that scene happened where the book happened, and then it pans up to him, and I was like, "Oh shit!" I was like, "It finally happened! I saw the scene." I was very excited to see Kramer again. I already miss him, honestly. Like, I already miss him, and seeing him in the backwards hat was a joy because I've not yet seen all the memes and like the source, the foundation of all that. I'm sorry. I'm really excited.
It's a pivotal moment in the Saw franchise. As we've said, this is a very fun movie. It is it's a fun movie, terrible film. There's a few things that I think could have been done better, but overall, it does an excellent job of wrapping up the entire storyline that we've been mainlining pretty much for the past 6 films. what a wild ride not only the films but these conversations have been, and I'm very glad that we did it. We're not done with the franchise, obviously. No. But this has been a very fun experiment, and taking my enjoyment into these conversations, comparing it to the terrible film that we just watched, I am gonna have to give this a 4 and a heart.
Okay. Can you give your rankings so far of the Saw films?
Oh, sure. Starting from least to best?
Best to least.
Best to least. Okay. Favorite, Saw 5. Then we're going Saw 4, Saw 3, 5, 4, 3, 6, 7, 1, 2.
Okay.
Okay.
As much as I'm a gigolo now, you can't deny. I think any level-headed person can't deny this is a bad made movie. It's not a good movie. I felt that the whole way through, but I'm so invested in the journey now at this point that I'm just along for the ride, and I'm kind of having a good time with it, which is something that I never thought would happen with the Saw franchise. It also kind of makes me regret not growing up with them. Like, it's crazy to think that when Saw 2 came out in 2005, that was the end of my journey. I had so much life between then and now that I just disregarded this franchise. It's kind of wild, actually. And I truly regret it. I truly regret it. I wish I would have watched them as they came out. And that is definitely a regret I have. But that being said, talking about this movie, it's a bad movie. A lot of it's hilarious. Traps, some not the best. One is pretty damn good. Too good for its a film it's in, to be honest. I think that it did a lot of things right with the narrative. I wasn't happy with the reveal. I'm glad to know it keeps going, because if it would have ended here, I would have been a little disappointed. But I think I'm a little why do you make that face, Ian?
No.
Well, how do you make that face?
Keep going.
Okay. Is that a weird thing to say? That if I think it ended here, I would have been disappointed?
No.
Okay. Sorry, that threw me off. It was... I'll give it a...
You know you
want to. I can't do it. I can't in my heart give it a 4. I can't.
Yes, you can.
I think I'm going to give it a 3.5. I think I'm going to give it a 3.5. It's a bad movie, Brennan, but I had a good time with it. It's getting a heart. But like,
what can I do to rank you up?
Here's how I'm thinking about it right now, okay? I gave Saw 4 a 3, and Saw 4 is way better than this movie. But I'm willing to put it in the same category just because of the journey, right? So even though it's not even close to that as far as like film quality. So far, my listing is Saw 3 is number 1. Mm-hmm. Saw 5 is number 2. Saw 1 is number 3. Saw 4 is number 4. Saw 7. Oh, no, I didn't even put 6 in there. Shit. Okay, Saw 3 is number 1. Mm-hmm. Saw 6 is number 2. Saw 5 is number 3. You still with me? Saw 1 is number 4. Saw 4 is number 5. Saw 7 is number 6. And Saw 2 is number 7.
God, we really got boners for Saw 2, don't we?
It's just not a good movie, dude.
It's not.
And the weird thing is okay, we're not talking about Saw 2.
No, okay.
we're not talking about Saw 2.
This movie's terrible, but super fun. And I really enjoy watching it, and I really want to watch it with other people and show other people and have fun with this movie. 3.5 with a heart, which brings this film, Saw 3D from 2010, an official Red Rum rating of 3.5 and a heart.
I think that's forgiving, dude. Honestly.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think it's deserving. Yeah. I don't argue the four, though. I think without the four, it wouldn't have gotten to that 3.5, obviously. So I think it needs to be, one of us needs to like it more, right? Yeah. Because I don't think it's necessarily.
I'll take it.
Yeah. You got to be the guy, right? You got to be the head gigolo.
He's the guy.
Like
it's 3D.
It is a 2.3 on Letterboxd, though. So we are being significantly more generous than the average.
I think it's Metacritic is like 60, or no, it's Rotten Tomatoes is like a 13.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So we're very generous with this one.
R.I.P. Chester, though. Before we get into the greatest game of all time,
it doesn't even matter.
The greatest game of all time, we are going to take a thick, juicy, milky, slushy, gritty, slimy, thick piss break. Please enjoy a listen from one of the other beautiful podcasts on the
Ruminations Radio Network.
What's up, gang? This is Hoptimus. You've been listening to one of the great new podcasts from Ruminations Radio Network. If you want some more tasty sound vibes, come check out my new podcast, The Retro Futurist Culture, where we talk about alternate timelines, cyberpunk, anime, and other crazy worlds. If that does not strike your fancy, we have plenty of other great shows at ruminationsradionetwork.com.
Welcome back. Hope you guys had a slimy piss. Time for the game show. Whoa. What's in the box? A game show where I'm going to spout off a summary from the website Letterboxd, which is for movie fans everywhere, critics, just layman people who can go and rate your simple Saw 3Ds. All right. If they guess the rating on the dot, they get 2 points. If they are 3 points away, they get a 1 point. They will then move on to the decade. If they get that, they get a point. If they get another, they guess the year to get another point. You guys ready for the game?
I'm ready to play a game.
Dude, that's seriously what I was about to say. Holy shit, bro. I'm not kidding. God, we're like best friends. It's great. I'm not kidding, though. I'm not kidding. That's what I was gonna say. I'm ready to play a game.
Based on Fuyumi Ono's best-selling books, these 10 tales of spookiness by 6 Japanese horror directors are designed to chill viewers to the bone.
Well, it's a Japanese movie, so it has to at least be a 3.8, right?
3.4.
Oh, 3.4. Interesting. I'll say 3.2.
2 points on the board. This is a 3.3. You guys were rimming it. You guys were rimming that rating.
No donuts.
We got tongue from Brennan. Guess the decade.
90s?
No. 2000s, bro. Come on. No, it's at least 2000s. 2010s, maybe. Sorry, I'm not talking to the mic. 2010s, maybe. I would say one of us go 2000s and one of us go 2010s. That's
okay, you pick and I'll do the other.
2000s.
2010s.
I think it's 2010s, though, and I'm always right about this. 2000s, though.
Guess the year, Brendan.
Told you! I told you! I'm always right about that! My gut is so instinctual. It's crazy.
Since you helped me get that point, I will also let you guess the year.
For since you?
No. We'll both guess the year since you were instrumental in that.
Okay.
But I'll go first. What I'll say. I'm making the rules here.
What?
The fucking contestants make the
fucking
rules.
Capote came out for a second. I don't know what was going on there.
I'm making the rules.
I'm going to say 2013.
I'll go 12.
Kyle with no point. This is the 2016 film Kaidan, Piece of Darkness. Anthology film.
Sounds like Max Way.
On to the next one. Satan has jaws. A sounds demonic like nun unleashes holy hell. Wait, sorry. A demonic nun unleashes holy hell when she summons the devil to possess a man-eating shark. Hopefully that wasn't too long.
1.3.
Those were all capitals, by the way.
That doesn't surprise me.
1.9.
1.9, and then Brendan, what'd you say? Sorry.
1.3.
Brendan with the point. That is sitting at a 1.4.
Damn.
This has got to be a Mark Colonna movie.
Guess the decade.
2010s. It's probably going to be the 2020s, though.
90s.
Brendan, moving on to the next round. Guess the year.
2017.
This is the 2015 Shark Exorcist. You knew that one?
Yes.
He did go on a shark watch for a while there, if you remember correctly. He had a shark period. Brendan did. So,
moving on to the final round, we are sitting Kyle 1, Brendan 4. It's anyone's game. Am I pretty? Legend holds that 30 years ago, a suburban town was terrorized by the spirit of a woman whose horrid face had been grotesquely disfigured, period, roaming the streets, wearing a long coat and carrying large scissors. The spirit would approach her victims, her young victims, and while removing the mask, ask if she was pretty. The victim's response would almost always lead to their violent death.
2.4.
2.2. 5. Well, I was going to say 4. Now I'm throwing off. 2.2. I'm going to stick with it. 2.2.
2.2. And then Brendan, 2.4?
Yeah.
Brendan getting the point. This is sitting at a 2.7. Guess the decade.
2010s.
2000s.
Brendan with another point. How's it feel, Kyle? How does it fucking feel?
I'm chilling, dog.
Guess the year, Brendan.
2013.
What? You guessed 2000s.
Oh shit. Oh, 2003.
Hold on. If I guess it right, can I win the whole game?
If you give me the name of this yokai, you can have 3 points.
It's
four
the
points.
One, Brendan, it's the one with the white hat in Ghostwire Tokyo with the scissors and the black hair, the white hat and the black hair, the dress. I don't know her name, though.
Okay, I'll say 2006.
It's a good year. Good guess. Great, I'm going to say 2008.
This is the 2007 film Carved the Split Mouth Woman. Yeah. Which is a Kuchisake One film, which is my favorite yokai. Brendan taking this game fucking...
It's a close race, though.
13 to 1. How do you feel, Brendan? Wiping the floor yet again with another victim.
I just enjoy playing this game with you guys.
And with I'm just glad to be nominated.
And with that being said, this has been the
do-do-do of the Ruminations Radio Network.
This has been the final chapter.
Oh, I didn't want to call it the final chapter because we're covering more sauce. This has been the final chapter of the Ruminations Radio Network. If you like what we're doing here, go follow us on Instagram, Twitter. We're popping off on Instagram right now, apparently.
We have a shop on T-Fury. Go buy some merch. Go buy a Ruminations of Red Room shirt, mug, what do they call those hats that you like, Ian? The fucking
bucket hats?
Oh, bucket hats.
The bucket hats? We have bucket hats?
We do.
Yes, we do. Yeah. Go buy all that.
I'm going to get one.
Go buy a tote bag a Ruminations of Red Room tote bag that you could use at Trader Joe's and Whole Foods and grocery stores, you know?
Oh, I could take it to my Subway.
There you go. I've been your host, Kyle, with a K. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
I've been your host, Ian, two E's, with Ghost of Ian. Joining me, virtually to my right, Brendan Jesus Ortega Madison, Mr. Fantastic, smartest man in the Marvel Universe.
Hail Ratma and hail Detective Hoffman's lips.
Also joining me to my virtual left, we have the 15th Doctor, Kyle, with a K, K-Dog.
Shout out to all my gigolos.